American intelligence community was human, at least in a nominal sense, and so were all prominent politicians, including the president, which surprised a few people. Chapter 44. Apia, Samoa, 22 July, 2021. Just a week after it had been blasted with a shotgun and swam to the airport, the changeling returned. Sharon Valita had a brand new passport, a 6-month work permit, and a suitcase full of light business outfits. Over the internet, she'd landed a job with a bank in Apia looking for a customer representative who could speak German and French. She also had packed a nice bikini and cute jogging outfit, a dinner dress, and a bottle of Sudafed unlike any other in the world. Each capsule had been carefully opened and emptied and refilled with a couple of $100 worth of reference DNA stolen from a teaching laboratory at the University of Hawaii. She had bitten down on one every few hours from the Honolulu airport to the Apia one, where a uniformed man apologetically stuck a swab in her mouth and stroked the inside of both cheeks. He did something under the counter and then waved her through. The changeling was in a quiet race against time. It had to establish a convincing identity as a working woman in Apia before Michelle Watson, the Poseidon receptionist, retired to have her baby. It knew that Michelle's husband was a pleasant but unemployed beach bum, and she wanted to work as long as she could waddle down to the bank with her paycheck, which was okay with Poseidon. Sometime in the next 6 weeks, they would advertise for a replacement. The ad wouldn't ask for a pretty woman with a degree in business and minor in oceanography, but that was what they'd get. The changeling rented an apartment on Beach Street, a few blocks from the project site, and began a routine that included jogging at dawn and dusk, which was when Russell was out riding his bike. He said he used the time to think, but he probably wouldn't be thinking so hard that he would ignore a pretty blonde in a tight silver jogging outfit with "Property of Nobody" stenciled on the back. Its bank job was not difficult and was moderately interesting when they actually needed Sharon as a translator. The rest of the time they had it out front, being pretty and a teller, both of which the changeling could do without thinking about anything but ones and zeros. Three of the men at the bank asked Sharon out, and she dated them in strict rotation, without becoming involved. It had been a woman often enough to know that men would accept a lack of sexual activity for a long time if you were attractive and kept them talking about themselves. They were British, American, and Samoan, reserved, brash, and shy, respectively. The Samoan was the most interesting, taking his Palagi woman to native places where no one else was Caucasian, and doing physical things like sailing and swimming. More traditional physical behavior she was reserving for Russell. Russell pedaled by her almost every morning, either approaching with a conventional "I'm not looking at your breasts" smile and nod, or slowing down and coasting as he closed on her from behind. The changeling contrived an incident the second week. Hearing the familiar bicycle about a block away, it stumbled and fell, skinning a knee. Russell raced up and dropped his bike with a clatter. Sharon was looking at the minor wound and tentatively picking gravel out of it. The changeling manufactured enough histamine to make itself on the verge of tears. "Are you all right?" He was a little out of breath. "It's nothing," the changeling said. "I'm such a klutz." "Wait." Russell stepped back to his bicycle and got the water bottle. He unscrewed the top and, steadying her with a light touch to the calf, poured cool water on the abrasion. "Ooh." There was no pain, actually, but the changeling made itself flinch. "No, it's all right." It was more than all right, actually. His familiar touch and the smell of his sweat. If the changeling had been slightly more human, she would have grabbed him and held him tight. "We have a first aid kit back at the office," he said, nodding in the direction of the project, about a block ahead. "We ought to clean that and wrap it up. Wounds get infected so fast here." "Thank you. I don't want to be any trouble."
"Nonsense."
He gave her an arm and helped her up. The changeling shivered slightly at his touch on its waist. It limped a little, hand on his shoulder for support. "Your bike?"
"Nobody'll take it. It's a junker. I don't even carry a lock."
"People are different here, aren't they? Back home, someone would steal it whether it was worth anything or not."
"Where's home?"